Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Dr. Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program. This is a show where I get to interview some of the best, the brightest, and most creative minds, mentors, and coaches in the world, and will share their valuable experiences on subjects that will change your fortune and transform your life. Now, during this 30-minute program today, I'll focus on a very special guest who I'll introduce to you in just a moment. But first, a little background. You see, I discovered that over my many years as a chiropractor and coach, that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, and even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered there were different layers of motivation in each person that were not being resolved or dealt with, mainly because very few of us had access to these layers. Using something I call the logic of the soul, I was able to access deep layers of subconscious decisions and get some amazing results. And you can learn more about this process from any of my books, The Logical Soul, The Money Matrix Method, and The Six-Figure Coach, as well as from my website at www.logicalsoultalk.com, where you can find links to my books, workshops, meetups, private coaching sessions, and more. And while you're there, be sure to check out our upcoming guests and feature presentations. Now, the purpose and goal of this show, as it is with every show, is that you walk away with something powerful that you can use in your life that will help you add to your primary motivation and nourish what I call your seed of success. So listen to the show, take notes, then call in with your comments and your questions. Our show hotline is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. If you're listening to the show as a recorded podcast, however, you won't be able to call. But, hey, thank you for checking us out. And be sure to like us on Facebook and tell your friends as well. So now, the scoop on tonight's guest, her name is Satya Kalra. She's the president and founder of a movement or a spiritual movement out in the San Francisco area called Path to Anandam. And the website is pathtoanandam.org, but I'm going to let her talk about that a little later on. She's a self-transformational empowerment and happiness coach. She calls herself a happiness coach. She's a spiritual guide and teacher. And she's also a best-selling author of 11 books, as well as being on the international scene. Apparently, she travels a lot. She spends a lot of time with a lot of people, spiritual leaders in different countries. She's also, interestingly enough, she's a former CEO from a biotech industry and founder and president, as I said, of the nonprofit organization Path to Anandam. Her specialty is Bhagavad Gita, science, spirituality, life coaching, leadership, business, and many of the things that move us forward and transform our lives. So she's been interviewed about 50 times on the radio. She's been on TV. As I said, she's a best-selling author for 10 books in the last 30 days, which is one of the interesting things I found out about her. Without further ado, Satya, is that you? Are you there?
Yeah.
Welcome. Welcome to the show. You're on Logical Soul Talk. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, and thank you very much, Michael, having me on your wonderful show. I have heard your other shows also, and you have a great show, program.
Well, thank you very much, Satya.
I'm very honored to be here.
I appreciate your joining us today. Now, you're in San Francisco now, is that correct, or the Bay Area?
Yes, I am. Yes,
okay.
I am.
And you said, this piqued my interest, you said that you've authored 10 best-selling books in the last 30 days. Is that for real, or is that... I'm not saying you're exaggerating at all, but I'm just saying, how do you do that?
You know, I have the same question.
Huh.
And actually, my first book, Yoga Beyond Asana, the yoga is much more than physical exercises, became bestseller last year on October 17th. And
okay.
I have 6 online books, e-books, and 5 hardcover books. And I had a dream that I wanted to have these books on best-selling, but making the book as a bestseller, I mean, to me, first book was a little bit challenging. So I said, I don't want to go through that exercises anymore. And it's, you know, you have to bring a lot of awareness to people about your books and about your work. And I just kept thinking about it, and in June, there was a disaster in India, which was a water flood, Ganges disaster in northern part of India.
And yeah, I heard about that.
I was supporting the cause, and I donated one of my books, Prosperity Forever, Through the Art of Work, for the cause. And that became the bestseller. I think the cause pulled it. And, of course, my books are... They are small. I mean, one book is very big and the other book is also a big one. But my past Anandam series, which are about pocket-sized books, about 70 pages with a beautiful daily planner on the back. And one mantra to practice a day. So more like practicing the good being, well-behavior, or I call it spirituality. Every day, bring it in your life, and you start living that kind of life. And that book became bestseller in 3 days again. And one day I was checking, because I work through a lot of meditation, and all of a sudden I would get the message in my meditation that go and check out this book on Amazon. And when I would go there, they would be number one bestseller. And so all the books start uplifting, and just becoming a bestseller. And many times I would see them number one bestsellers on Amazon. And I would be shocked. So I think divine is helping me. This is called law of attraction, you could say, because my dream was, and I always pray to Lord that, look, I'm writing these books, and all of my books are donated for the philanthropic causes. So I prepare the book, and print them, and also have online, and whatever the proceeds come from my books, they go directly to the philanthropic causes. I do not take any single penny out of it.
That makes a difference, I think. Apparently, you have a fairly large following. Is the Path to Anandam a fairly large group, or how big is your group there in San Francisco, or I should say worldwide?
You know, if you can look at it differently. When you look at it from the audience point of view, I have a very large group because I do a lot of radio programs, and now my program is coming on TV as well. It's going to come this month. And I do the workshops, personal teachings, one-to-one coaching, also group coachings, and give talks in many organizations and to the philanthropic causes, etc. So my reach out is quite large. And but we, as a working group, I keep it as a small group. And when I say small group, like I have my web people, they are in India and also they are in Canada. And then I have online virtue assistants, etc., and then some non-paying volunteers and all that. So I do have a fairly good-sized team here.
It sounds like you do. And it sounds to me as if that intention, your intention to help the people in India to contribute your books to a good, worthy cause and that type of thing, obviously that would give it some impetus and give you some give people more motivation to buy, I would imagine. And I guess you found that to be true.
Yeah, and my causes are not just limited to India. Sometimes I go to give workshops and things to places, and they invite me, and I fall in love with their cause, and I say, okay, my next 1 month services, it could be my workshops, it could be my own one-on-one coaching, whatever the resources proceeds come, I say, okay, my next month is donated to your cause. So if anywhere in the world, including USA or locally in San Francisco, wherever there is, and sometimes I take my books and I go to the causes and I say, here are my 200 books, just go use it for your fundraising and all that. So we contribute and we participate and support a lot of causes.
That's great. That's really great, Satya. I'm really happy to hear that, and I checked out your website. It's quite extensive. You've got quite a following, and some of the people that you were photographed with are quite interesting. I noticed Deepak Chopra, and there are a few others who I didn't recognize, but I know that they're You've got quite a few of them. Let's put it that way. So, tell me something. How did you? When you said that you were a before you became a spiritual leader, you were a CEO of a biotech industry. Was that in India or is that here in the States? Or how did you go from being a CEO in the biotech industry? Apparently, you've been a meditator for a long time. I've been meditating over 40 years myself, so I know the attraction. But what would take you from the corporate world, so to speak, to just dropping it all and becoming that? Did you get the message or was this a calling or how did that happen for you?
Actually, I have moved to USA on December 13, 1969. So it's almost 44 years now.
Wow.
And living in USA since then, I have gone to school, University of Illinois Medical Center, UC Berkeley, for my business management courses and all that. So I have been living in this part of the world for a long, long time, and had a background from in the science from very beginning, even from India. My degrees were from India, initial degrees, and they were in science, biochemistry, and then I went into immunology, organic chemistries, and marketing, and you name it. And CEO. I mean, I have founded the biotech companies also and co-founded, and my last job was as a CEO and chairperson of the company. And my divine call came to me that it is about time that I should share this knowledge. And the knowledge here is, my main knowledge here is, that when I came to this country, I mean, my first job was starting as $1.65 as a sweeping the floors in the factory.
Mm.
And my commitment to myself was that I'm not going to stay on this job. And I went to school again, start climbing up the ladder from a technician to all the way, and I achieved all the things which I wanted to achieve or I thought I had wanted to achieve. And I felt like there was nothing more for me. I mean, after CEO and chairperson, where else would I go? But the one thing initially on the process, I noticed I would be happy when I achieved something, when I set the goal and achieved it. But after a while, again, I will be unhappy and wanted something else. And there was no end to this wanting business in my life. I always wanted more and more and more. And finally, it came to me, look, you know, I don't have to look for anything else because all of a sudden the fountain of happiness came within me. And I said, oh, my God, I have been looking all over the world for my happiness, for approval from others and from big titles and big homes and big cars and all the external things. And I thought that was abundance and prosperity in my life. But that was within me. The fountain of abundance was within me. And when I found that, I say, now, the message was, don't hold on to it. Go and share with others. And
very, very good.
2007, I basically resigned. And actually, it was a divine call came to me. And I just, when I did that, I had no idea what I was going to do. It took me about 9 months to figure it out. And then I founded the foundation Path to Anandam. And Anandam means eternal blissfulness, your eternal happiness, which nobody can take it away from you, no external factors or circumstances will come. And, of course, we feel and we get a little bit jerk here and there and we get shaken up, but bounce back in a no matter of time. And that was the biggest achievement for me. I felt like that was the biggest message I have. And basically I share and I just teach and preach and coach how to be happy. And during that process, I do a lot of self-healing through meditation and taking them through the coaching process. So then they are not dependent on my coaching services, but they find their own guru within themselves. They awaken that coach within themselves, and they become self-dependent rather than depending on my services. So
that's extremely important.
Them how to be self-reliant.
Right. That's very important, Satya.
How to make your,
We're speaking with Satya Kalra. She's the president founder of Pastuanandam, which is the foundation that she created. She's written several books, and she used to be a corporate CEO. Now she's on the path to Anandam. She's living her bliss, and she's living her path, and she's coaching others in what she calls as a happiness coach. And so if you want to ask her a question, now's your chance. If you're listening to this show live, give us a call. Our area code is 347, and the number is 843-4544. Press 1 to raise your hand, and I'll be happy to call on you. You can ask her a question, or just join the conversation. Again, 347-843-4544. Press 1 to raise your hand, and we'll call on you. Satya, I had a question for you, because you call yourself a happiness coach, and we build this show as be worry-free in 30 days. So I guess the next logical question would be to ask, how do you go about coaching someone to be worry-free in 30 days? What are the steps? Walk us through those, if you would.
See, worry is one of the habits we develop over a period of time.
Right.
And what do we worry about it? What is worry? Basically, imagining the worst possible outcome by thinking of past and future.
Mm-hmm.
And so the key here is, rather than worrying about things for the future and whatever is, of course, we have so many things in our life and we are concerned about it. So rather being a concern, get in action. For example, if a student is worrying about his grades, whether I'm going to get A or B or C or D, rather than worrying about it, go into action and study.
Yeah. Take action,
just
do
keep
something.
Studying and learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so my main thing is go get into action and think about positively. Don't about maybe you have flunked in the past, and of course those are memories are there and those fears are there, but don't worry. That's why it says do not think about the past, whatever happened. Today I'm studying and I'm going to get my grades. And totally 100% focus on the studies, because what worry does, it brings the negativity in the system, and that secretes the toxins in the system. It eats up our memory. It eats up our self-esteem, our self-confidence. We start getting headaches. And sometimes we get, during exam days, many students get sick, whether by stomach or by headaches, and by they develop allergies or nausea or cold, because they are so worried and they were developing the toxins in the system. So leave that. You just focus on your study and have a faith in yourself that you can do it, and also have a faith in the Supreme. You are not alone. There is somebody watching you. Your job is just to study and let divine take care of you.
Okay.
So once we
what
feel
happens,
that... Go ahead.
Sorry, I had a similar question in that there are a lot of things that people worry about. I notice this from the work that I do, that they have absolutely no control over. In other words, or seemingly have no control over, like wars or famines or, you know, tragedies, things like that. I know, for example, when something happened in India, you took action. You mm-hmm. you know, you took your books and you did this and that. How do you coach someone who is worried about something that seemingly is beyond their reach? You know, if you're coaching someone, do you hold them accountable to take action? And if so, what kind of action would they take when something is supposedly beyond their reach, like some people are making decisions that have nothing to do with their input?
Let's take a worst example could happen. Somebody's worried about the death in the family. Somebody's sick.
Right.
And that's
right.
The worst thing could happen. Now, even if I worry, There's nothing I can do about it. One
right.
can do, get the best treatment, take the person, or you, if you have a concern, go to the best doctor, get the best treatment, and calm, if the family member, you help that person calming, rather than expressing them that you are worried about it, help them, so whatever comes, even if they, apart from this world, prepare them that there is nothing you can do. You don't. What we worry about it, we feel guilty about after certain things happen. Put your best effort into it. Get that person to the best treatment you can afford or the system can afford. And pray. I focus quite a bit on prayers and quite a bit on meditation and healing through the meditation and send the good vibration to that. Create the positive environment around that person where person is happy, person is calm, person is comfortable. Try to make that person's life as comfortable as possible.
Right.
That's
well,
the only thing
about...
you can do. Rest is up to God.
Right, exactly. And there's a lot of things that we have no control. For example, if I'm worried about what the president's going to do next week or what Congress is going to do or, you know, what the Pope is going to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The same advice for them or, you know, what would you give them? What would you tell them?
Our job is to make sure we select the proper candidates. We vote for the proper candidate. We support them.
Mm-hmm.
That's where
yep.
it starts. Once they are in the office, then there are many other factors like Republicans and Democrats and senators and all those things come in and play a big role there.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is within your power, you should do that and create
right.
the system within whatever is your power. You cannot right now whatever Obama decides or whatever the Democrats decide or whatever the Republicans decide, we have no control at this point.
Right.
We can raise our voice, we can give our opinion, but ball is not in our court right now.
Right.
So everything what comes is a cause and effect. Whatever we have done, the people we have selected and people who are in the offices now doing it, it's the effect of our action.
Exactly right. There's all you can do is just send it love, send them love, hold them in the highest regard, do what you can. Like you said, vote for the ones that you support and raise your voice when you can. But other than that, let it go, right?
Let it go. That is the main thing that we should let go after we do our best, not
right.
before. If we do let go before, it means it's our laziness. We do not care. So we
okay.
put our efforts 100% into it and then let go.
It sounds like a model for success, Satya, and it sounds like something that you've done most of your life, if not all of your life. We're speaking with Satya Kalia, Kalra. She is the founder and CEO, or actually the founder of the nonprofit organization Path to Anandam, and she's with us on Logical Soul Talk today. If you want to ask her a question, feel free to call in, join the conversation. Our number is area code 347-843-4544, 347-843-4544. If you're listening to this as a recorded podcast, however, thanks for joining us. You won't be able to call in, but I appreciate your tuning in today to listen. Satya, we've got about a little less than 5 minutes here, so I'm going to give you a little bit more time to talk about your programs or talk about maybe bring up a segment of some of the other books that you've written, some of the other tips that you might have for people. And before we get to that, give people your website again, if you would.
Yeah, it's www.pathtoanandam.org, P, Peter, A, Apple, T, Tom, H, Henry, T, Tom, O, Orange, A, Apple, and Nancy, A, Apple, and Nancy, D. David, A. Apple, and Mary, .org.
Path to Anandam.org. and go there. And I suppose they could go there to get your books and to find out more about your programs, correct?
Yeah. All of my books are also available from Amazon.com.
Amazon.com, excellent. Excellent. Very good.
And
so,
they are like,
gotcha.
I
was just going to ask you to just give us a few more tips along the same lines of how to be worry-free, and then we'll call it an evening because we're about to run out of time here, but we've got about three more minutes. So I'm going to give you the floor. Go ahead.
I will just read one simple poem which answers a lot of things here, and it says, just for today, as I said, the focus on your action the same day, wherever, whatever you are doing. Do not worry about the past and do not worry about the future. So just for today, I take full responsibility of my actions. I have faith in myself and Almighty. I give more and expect less. I forgive myself and others. I let go of all my worries. Just for today, I respect myself and others. I love myself and others. I think positive. I speak the truth. Just for today, I thank others. I enjoy myself and smile. I meditate and pray. I relax. Just for today, I'm happy. I am peaceful. And I am prosperous. So that...
Very good.
That gives freedom from all the unhappiness and stress and anxiety and suffering and worries. And we live in love, peace, and anandam, and then we have a happy life, healthy body, and peaceful mind. And then we can enjoy our life to the fullest. So this is a formula how to enjoy myself and my life to the fullest.
Sounds like a great formula, Satya. Sounds like you're living that, and I would imagine that anyone who comes around you would pick that up. So I just want to really thank you for being on the show. I appreciate your sharing your light and your love and your happiness with us. And I wish you all the best. And those that you support and those who you contribute to with your books and your teachings and your coaching, I wish them all the best. And I send this out to those around the world as well, those who are suffering and have worries, to take your advice. Just be here in the moment and let it go. And sound advice for sure. And Satya, thank you so much for sharing that with us today. Is there anything else you want to say? We've got about 30 seconds here. So,
okay. I just say, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Peace, Peace, Peace. Peace for my body, peace for my mind, and peace for the whole universe. So this universe becomes a better place to live for us, for our children, and for coming generation. And may God bless all of us, all the listeners, everybody, all the living beings, non-living beings in the universe. Thank you very much for inviting me on your show, and thank you very much for being a part of this show and listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Satya, thank you. Your blessings are well received, and thank you so much. There's nothing to add to that. This is Dr. Michael Craig, Logical Soul.